Good morning. It is great to have you with us today. My name is Fred Holcomb. I'm the music pastor, worship leader here at Grace, and it is a joy to have all of you with us, members and visitors as well. Visitors, we want to welcome you and just thank you for being with us today. We trust the Lord will encourage your heart today. If you haven't gotten a connection card, they're out in the lobby on the table there. We'd love for you to pick one of those up and just give us some information there to record your visit with us. We also have a brief fellowship time after the morning service in the fellowship hall for 15, 20 minutes. We'd love to meet you and greet you. So if you want to be a part of that, we'd love for you to. Our senior pastor, Adam Love, and his wife and their youngest son are in Iowa today visiting Caleb, their oldest son, on this extended weekend. So that's where they are today, and they'll be traveling back tomorrow, I believe. So be in prayer for them as they make that trip. Just a couple of announcements, and I'll try to keep this brief this morning. The MOPS group, the Moms of Preschoolers, begins this Wednesday. So if you're wanting to be a part of that or you would love to volunteer, they never turn volunteers away. So if you're interested in helping with that, please see Jen Grieve or Sandy Grimacki. Remember also that there are no activities this afternoon or evening. With Labor Day weekend, we kind of take this off so you can spend some time with family. But all the activities will resume next Sunday, September the 11th. There are also many other things in your bulletin that are planned for you and ministries that involve you. You can find those in your bulletin. You can also go on our website for some more information about ministries and things that you can be involved in. So we thank you for your visit this morning. We thank you for the time that you've entrusted with us to lead you and lead you in worship and also into the Word. So thank you so much. Kelly's going to come and pray for us this morning and introduce our guest speaker.
Good morning, church. It's my privilege. I want to go ahead and introduce our guest speaker for this morning, although he's no stranger to many of us. Bill and Mary Beth Hall have, and their family have been kind of a part of Grace for almost 2 years, if you count the time that they spent online watching the services before they came. Bill is no stranger to many of us, as he has taught an elective for us on the life of Moses. He's taught alongside of me with our men's group on Sunday evenings. He is an ordained minister. Pastoral experience is in his background. And if you know Bill, you know this. He has a passion for God's word. He has a deep love for God's people. And he has a sweet gift of bringing those two together. And I think we're going to experience that this morning. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And let's prepare our hearts for our time together. Lord, we thank you for the gift of this morning. We thank you that we can gather as your blood-bought church, and we gather in the name of Jesus for his glory and for our joy. So, Lord, we pray for your anointing on this morning, on this service, as we rise to praise your name, as your name is exalted through the preaching of your word. Lord, as we gather for fellowship, as we gather in our Sunday school classes and electives, may all of this just come together as a resounding praise and glory to you. Lord, we pray that you'll minister to specific needs as we gather. Some of us in deep need of encouragement, of refreshment, of reminder of your supremacy over our circumstances. Some of us in need of challenge and awakening and revival. So, Holy Spirit, we pray that you'll come, that you'll work. And Lord, prepare our hearts now for what you want to do. Again, for your glory and our joy, in Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand with me as we worship together, as we sing praises and lift those to our Lord? Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Sing with us.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melody sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise his name, I'm fixed upon it. To this place, and I know thy hand will lead me safely home by thy good grace. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, bought me with his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Goodness like a feather, find my wandering heart to me. Crawl to honor, Lord, I feel it. Crawl to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts of love.
Come into your presence.
We come into your presence. We remember every blessing that you poured out so freely from above. Oh, lifting gratitude and praises for compassion so amazing. Lord, we come to give you thanks. That you poured out so freely from above. Oh, lifting gratitude and praises for compassion so amazing. Lord, we come to give you thanks for all you've done. Because of your love, we're forgiven. We lift you up with songs of freedom. Forever we're changed because of your love. Stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you It's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. Oh, I've seen many searching for answers, far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us.
Sing that again.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Oh, it's love so undeniable, and I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think. As you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm knowing you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Taught you a song about a month and a half ago, and we've sung it a couple of times, but I want to sing it one more time, and then we'll kind of put it in a rotation maybe later down the road. But I love the lyrics to this song, Jesus, You Alone. I hope it'll minister to your heart this morning. Who is the great King of glory? Jesus. Jesus alone. Who is the great King?
Who is the great King of glory, seated on high in the heavens? Oh, Jesus, You alone.
You are the Lord.
You are the Lord God Almighty, strong in compassion and mercy. Oh, Jesus, You alone. I searched the world for love that could fill my heart, but nothing compares to the wonder of who You cry, holy, Jesus, You alone. Jesus, You alone. You set the stars in the heavens. You set the world into motion. Oh, Jesus, You alone. You breathe Your life in creation. You walk among Your created. Oh, Jesus, you alone. I've searched the world for love that could fill my heart, but nothing compares to the wonder of who you for salvation. You broke the curse for our freedom. Oh, Jesus, you alone. You rose from death with the morning. You'll come again in your glory. Oh, Jesus, you out, holy Jesus, you alone.
Sing worthy.
Worthy, I lift my voice and sing worthy. I bow my life to exalt thee, Jesus, you alone. Jesus, you alone.
God, we do bow before you this morning with open hearts, open hands. We need you today. We need to receive the food of your word. And so we raise those praises to you. May they be a sweet aroma as we come into your presence. Thank you for what you're going to do in our lives through your word. For it's in Jesus' mighty and precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, Grace. All of those that were just here on the platform, thank you for what you do and the way you do it. Keep up the good work. These guys back here in the sound booth, maybe you don't realize what an excellent job they do. Thank you, guys. Keep up the good work. Appreciate it very much. Very excited to be with you today in this capacity. Honored. Appreciate it. God likes you. God likes you. God likes. He likes you very, very much. God likes you more than you like you. Some of us like ourselves very much, don't we? God likes you more than your mom and dad like you. God likes you more than your brothers and sisters like you. God likes you more than your sons or your daughters like you. God likes you very, very much. And I'll tell you something else. Satan hates you. He absolutely hates you. You know why? You represent God. Even if you're here today and you don't have the Holy Spirit in your heart, you don't have Jesus in your life, you still represent God to the devil. You know why? God made everyone in his own image. That's how he made man and woman in the beginning. The devil hates you, and he hates you very, very much. You're despicable to him, but God likes you. God likes. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty. Father, I've loved that name for you ever since I was young. But Lord, I'm so glad today that I can not only call you that, but I can call you my Father. And when I call you my Father, I can know that as a good Father, you like me. And you like me very much. Lord, when I think about that, my soul recoils. It says, no, I don't deserve that. But it's not about me. It's about you. And you can like me. And you do like me. Father, you like your people. Lord God, I can't do this. I'm not adequate to this task. I feel so inadequate, so unable. But Lord God, your people are here, and Jesus is praying for us, and he's speaking to you about what needs to be said. And Father, you didn't send a troop of angels to go around the world for a couple thousand years and preach the gospel. You didn't do that. You didn't send the Holy Spirit down in human form like you did the Son to live among us and proclaim it. Instead, Father, you use your people. So I know this morning you can use me because in your wisdom, which I don't understand, you've chosen to use us. Your Holy Spirit is in us. Your angels are supporting us. You are using the church. There are hands in here that have ministered as Christ to others. There are feet in here in this room who have taken the gospel to this world, to many places in it. You use your people and you like us. God, just take me out of the way this morning. Give us something from your word, Father, because I know that you love us so very much. God, you don't want the devil to stand in our way. Father, you want to give us victory because you always win. It's in Christ's name I pray and praise you. Amen. The Greeks had many words for love. If you go by some counts, it was 6. By other counts, it was 7. By other counts, it was 8. I mean, you can find just about whatever you want there. But they didn't use just one word to describe the many-faceted meaning of what love is. 3 of the words they had were agape, phileo, and storge. And we find all 3 of these in the New Testament. I'm sure, being here at Grace, we have some great preachers and teachers here. I'm sure you have heard sermon after sermon after sermon about agape love. And it's great, isn't it? If we didn't have God's agape love, man, we'd just give up, right? But that unconditional, big love of God, that love that has nothing to do with you and everything to do with him, agape. It's a great concept. It's a wonderful concept. We could start on it, and we'd be busy all morning long, and we wouldn't have even scratched the surface. But that's not the love we're going to talk about today. Storge is familiarity. It has to do with, like, the love you would have for your family because you've had your family all your life. You were born with them, right? So that you're very familiar, very comfortable. My wife and I were talking one day about what storge means, and she said, you know, I read one author who said it's kind of like the love you have for an old pair of shoes. And then she said, and I love you that way. So I was thrilled. But really, in a marriage, you do need to have a lot of different kinds of love, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But the last one is phileo. And I think phileo hasn't gotten enough attention, so we're going to give it some phileo today. Phileo, and, you know, this morning, I know the Greek, I know what it means, but this morning I got out my Greek-English dictionary, this big, huge thing. I said, God, I just have to check this one more time and make sure I'm just not totally off in left field somewhere here. Phileo means to like, to have great affection for, to be fond of someone. And this morning, let me tell you, God likes you. He has phileo towards you. Yes, he has agape, but today we're going to talk about his phileo. I bought my wife a ring, of course, when we got married. And I wanted to make sure to get the perfect diamond. You know, you can get diamonds that aren't the perfect diamond. That diamond still sparkles, just like her. Because I wanted to make sure I got just the right kind of diamond. It's got to have the right cut, the right luster, the right all. There's so many different facets to it. Agape is one facet. Phileo is another. I recently realized that although my family, my children have grown up knowing that we love them. My wife and I, we grew up in good Christian homes. We've always made sure that our children understood God's love for them and our love for them. But I realized that I really hadn't communicated phileo to my children. And I said to them one day, I said, guys, William, Peter, Bethany, Felicity, I like you. And what I mean by that is, I don't just love you because you're my kids. I don't just love you because you just happened to be the one that came out when you were born. It's not just because of that. I actually like you. You, individually. I love you for who you are. I don't just love you just because you're mine, just because you're the person that God gave to me to be this child. No, I like you. And I think in our parenting, it's important to share that. I told you we'd talk about marriage for a minute. You know, you need to have agape in your marriage, right? That love that says, I chose you. It doesn't matter whatever you ever do, you're forgiven. Just like God would say. God's forgiveness doesn't cut short because we did something so awful. No. That agape is important in marriage. But you know what I see a lot of in some Christian marriages, especially after they've been married for a long time, but sometimes even early on? It's a lack of phileo. Why, I love you because I'm a Christian and I have to, and you're my wife or you're my husband, so I know, you know, I've got to do the agape thing, right? That's the right thing to do. But I don't really like you that much. And it becomes apparent in the words and the actions and the looks that your kids know are there. Maybe you've hid it well from other people, but someone knows it's there. Work on phileo. Work on storge, too, because it's important, right? That familiarity. All of those types of love are important in a marriage. So why am I talking about phileo in relation to the family? Well, phileo is important to the family. Phileo is also important to our relationship with the Lord God, with our Heavenly Father, who's such a great Father that all good fathers are simply a shadow or reflection of Him. John chapter 16. I believe we have a slide for John chapter 16, verse 27. John chapter 16. In John chapter 15, Jesus shares with His disciples, I do not call you slaves anymore because a slave doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. You phileo your friend. You use the word phileo with a friend who you like very, very much. Jesus was communicating this to his disciples. Then we come to chapter 16. We'll begin in verse number 1. I have told you these things to keep you from stumbling. They will ban you from the synagogues. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he's offering service to God. They will do these things because they have not known the Father or me. But I have told you these things so that when their time comes, you may remember I told them to you. I didn't tell you these things from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going away to him who sent me. And not one of you asked me, where are you going? Yet because I have spoken these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. And about righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, and you will no longer see me. And about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. This is why I told you that he takes from what is mine and will declare it to you. A little while and you will no longer see me. Again, a little while and you will see me. Therefore, some of the disciples said to one another, what is this? He tells us a little while and you will not see me. Again, a little while and you will see me. And because I'm going to the Father, they said, what is this he is saying? A little while. We don't know what he's talking about. Jesus knew they wanted to question him. He said to them, are you asking one another about what I said? A little while and you will not see me. Again, a little while and you will see me. I assure you, you will weep and wail, but the world will rejoice. You will become sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her time has come. But when she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the suffering because of the joy that a person has been born into the world. So you also have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice, and no one will rob you of your joy. In that day, you will not ask me anything. I assure you, anything you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. I have spoken these things to you in figures of speech. A time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I'm not telling you that I will make requests to the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. Ask the Father directly through Christ, and you can do that because he loves you. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I am leaving the world and going to the Father. Ah, his disciples said, now you're speaking plainly and not using any figurative language. Now we know that you know everything and don't need anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God. Jesus responded to them, do you now believe? Look, an hour is coming and has come when each of you will be scattered to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world. He was speaking to men that he knew were getting ready to forsake him. Just keep that in your mind in this context, right? Peter was getting ready to say to someone, I have no idea who that person is. And in that context, he shares this with them. And in verse 27, the word choice here is not agape. Agape love of God is amazing and wonderful, but this morning we need to embrace, church, the meaning of the word phileo. He said, the Father likes you because you like me. God likes you. He likes you. He likes you very much. Let me give you some verses that help us understand what this word means. Phileo is used about 21 times in the New Testament, and here are some of the examples. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. You can just write these down. Look them up if you're a fast turner. I'm going to read through them. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, Jesus says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they phileo, they love, to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. See, we translate phileo as love, when we translate agape as love, and we translate storge as love, and we would translate pretty much anything that has anything to do with love as love. But the Greeks had lots of different words for love, and the authors of Scripture, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, picked different ones depending on the nuance that they were getting at. In that context, it uses phileo. The hypocrites really like to do their thing where everybody can see them. They get a kick out of it. Very sad. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He that loveth, this really helps, by the way, in this particular context. I'm supposed to love my mother and father less than you. Well, yes, but specifically what he's talking about is this phileo love, where you're going to spend more time lavishing affection upon your family than you are lavishing affection on Christ. For the he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth, or phileo, son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. John chapter 5, verse 20, for the Father loveth the Son. The Father phileos the Son. He likes him. He likes him a lot. Right? And showeth him all things that he himself doeth, and will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. John chapter 12, verse 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. The one who likes his life, he's going to lavish his affection upon his own life. He's going to be fond of his own life. He's going to approve of his, he's going to spend his time and his interests upon his life to make sure that he gets what's coming to him. Then he's going to lose it. 1 Corinthians 16:22, we'll talk about this again here in a little bit. If any man love not, so does not phileo the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. Anathema maranatha means here, let him be accursed until the Lord comes. Like, accursed, whoa, that's a heavy word to be using about someone. Well, Jesus took the curse for us on Calvary. You can accept that, and the curse is not a problem. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, as many as I love, phileo, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. We have a slide about phileo. Let's put that up there. Thank you. Phileo is that form of love that speaks of affection or fondness. It means you like someone. They are a special recipient of your favor. You approve of them as an individual. God likes you. He really, really likes you. God likes his people. He likes us very, very much. Now, let me tell you what I'm not saying this morning. I'm not preaching to you one of those gods out there that people like to share who don't talk about sin, who don't convict of sin, who don't recognize sin. Those kinds of gods aren't going to do you any good. I'm preaching the God of the Bible. I'm preaching the Jesus we find in here. Sin is real. I don't like to preach about sin. No good preacher does. But we have to. Because sin is a problem. And problems need to be solved. If we didn't have any problems, the world would make no sense. I mean, if you looked around lately, it's like, okay, how do we get this messed up with no problems? There's a problem. Sin is the problem. Sin is despicable. Sin is horrible. Sin is terrible. And it hurts us very badly. And God hates it. Yes, I used the word hate this morning. God hates it. You know what's funny to me right now? We've got a lot of folks out there, and they talk about, you know, really what the world needs is more love. We just need to love people more. I mean, that one's been going on for a while, right? We've heard that a lot. We just need to love people more, and it'll all be great. But those same folks who are just almost, I mean, they're really, really strong with that message. Boy, yeah, we just all need to love each other. That's what we need in the world, love, love, love. Those same folks, if you say something or you do something in the public light that they don't like, will get up on social media and tear you apart and let you know just how much they, what, don't like you. Oh, well, we need lots of love in the world, but by the way, just so you know, even though I believe we need lots of love in the world, I don't like you. I'm going to unfriend you, unfollow you, oh, that like that I gave you before, I'm going to go back in my years of history and go find it and undo it and erase it out. And then I'm going to go and do this big, huge, long thing to lamblast you and slander you and attack you. But by the way, we need more love in the world. You see, the devil doesn't like us. And he will do absolutely anything to distort our understanding of God's love. When we don't have the right view of God, we hurt. We hurt. Sin is wrong. Sin is evil. Sin is a problem in your life and in my life. But 1 John 1:9 says, what? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If you're here today, you're a child of God, you've done something that you know is a sin, that is wrong, and you do have to get it right. But get it right. By the way, here's what God is not saying this morning. I like you just the way you are. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I like you, without commenting on how you are. Why? Because if you are messed up, he wants to fix it. He likes us that much. In other words, it doesn't matter how you are. I like you. If you're here today and you do not have the Lord Jesus in your heart and life, do you know that God wants you? And he wants you very, very much. Why? Because he wants you to spend the rest of your life enjoying phileo. Agape too, but we're talking about phileo this morning. He wants you for the rest of your life to enjoy the fact that he likes you very, very much. He wants you to be part of the family. And he wants it very much. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 33 shares with us that when God brings judgment, he says he doesn't do it from his heart. It is the strange work of God, but the normal work of God is mercy and grace. Yes, he brings judgment, but he doesn't do it from his heart. So I'm not preaching to you this morning that there isn't a problem. There is definitely a problem, but God likes you. And let me talk to you very specifically about how this impacts us. When you have an improper view of God, when you don't understand how he loves you, you can suffer unnecessarily. And let's talk about that for a minute. If you're a child of God, you're going to suffer. The Bible tells us that. But when you suffer for Christ's sake, right? For Christ's sake, count it all joy. Praise the Lord. That's great. That's fine. Suffer. And say, you know what? They did the same thing to my Lord. Rejoice in that suffering. It's fine. But many times we suffer unnecessarily. And God doesn't like that. He's not happy about that. He's sad about that. God, doesn't want Christian people who have Jesus in their heart and in their life? Who did he die for? Who did Jesus die for on that cross? Do you think that somehow God doesn't have enough mercy as a result of that? Did just some guy die? Is it just some normal person? It's the precious Son of God, the Lamb of God, died on that cross for you and for me. There is no limit to God's grace and mercy and love. Do we sin over and over and over again just so he can forgive us more? No, no, absolutely not, never. The Bible says, don't even think about such a thing. But God likes us, and he enabled that on Calvary. He likes us. So in your heart and in your mind, the adversary would like to say to you today, yeah, but that preacher up there doesn't know what you've done. Can you hear him? Has he been talking? Tell him to shut up for me. Right? That preacher doesn't know what you've done. That preacher doesn't know what you've been thinking or what you've been through. He doesn't know you thought about hurting yourself. He doesn't know the sin you've been guilty of for years and years and years and years. He doesn't know what you said to your wife last night. He doesn't know what you did to this person or that person. He doesn't know what that other person has done in your life that has hurt you in a horrible way. He doesn't know what this person said about you or that person said about you. He doesn't know any of that stuff. That's right, I don't know. But I don't have to know. God likes you. Whatever you're going through, whatever pain you have in your heart today, maybe there's a disease that you're battling through. There's an issue that you're just trudging through. Someone's done something. Someone said something. There's something in your heart you can't handle. You need the Lord's help. Whatever it is, guess what? God likes you. And he's not going to stop liking you, by the way. He's not up in heaven like this. Well, Michael, Gabriel, what do you think about that one? I don't think they're going to make it. Yeah, they just don't have the stuff. No. He's up in heaven. Come on, keep going. Keep going. Yeah, 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 yeah. Right, like that, like that. Ooh, 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 ooh. Hey, did you see what they just did? Yeah, 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 do that. Like you with your favorite football team or whatever. Some of us guys. I don't like sports, so I don't do that. But whatever. I get geeked out on tech stuff. God likes us. We don't have this picture of a God that is up in heaven rejoicing when we slip up. Instead, we have a picture like the parable of the prodigal son, where the moment that we come back to him, right? There they are. There they are. I'm so glad. That's the picture of God we have. That's the picture that he gives us. When we as Christians allow ourselves to have an improper view of God, that will keep us from reaching the lost. Let me share with you today a poem written by my wife to my father. The nail-scarred hand holds mine as we walk up to your throne. And there, a smile of welcome, I find, from you whose holiness has always shone. The Spirit in me echoes scripture that says, you love me as your friend. And there at last my searching ends. Perfectionism's struggles I have left undone. You see me as you see your son. That's good enough for me. Anxiety over future loss no more controls my thoughts. You love me, and you'll never leave. And that's good enough for me. That is really good enough for me. Again and again, we make that walk, the nail-scarred son and I. And every time, your kind reply is that I am yours, and all is well. There's no joy that's quite like this. To stand there, loved by Trinity, and know that it shall always be. It shall always be. My Father, my Father, my Father, thank you for loving me the way that you do. For your book that breathes life in my soul, for your patience in all of my wrestling, for your Spirit and Son ever prevailing, please never, never let me lose this wonder. My Father phileos me. He phileos me. He likes me. He likes me very much. He likes me as a friend. Abraham in the Old Testament was called the friend of God. Abraham was a man of faith. James talks to us about having the faith of Abraham. Believe in Christ. The Father sees you as a friend. He likes you. And that is included in that multifaceted love that he has for us. Today, there may be those with us who have difficulty accepting this into their theology. Yeah. Well, preacher, I know God loves me, but God likes me? Not sure about your theology there, preacher. He does. Why? Why would we be resistant to that? Is it possible? And I want to share this with all the love I can. And the only reason I even mention it is because sometimes Christians are hurting. And there's nothing sadder to me than Christians hurting. We have God in us. We have been made alive in him. We don't need to hurt in this way. But could it be you can't accept that God likes you because you're bitter against God? Well, preacher, I know that God loves me. But if he really liked me, then this wouldn't have happened this way. He wouldn't expect me to live as a Christian quite like this. I'm talking to some of the older saints as well. When I say older, I don't mean physically older. I mean spiritually older. You've been saved longer. Do you have a hard time accepting the idea that God phileos you? Do you have a hard time with that concept that he likes you? Let me take it another direction as well. I run into a lot of Christians who are building their mansion. You know what I'm talking about? I'm saved, but I'm working to get that well done, good and faithful servant, and so I got to make sure I mind my P's and Q's because God's up there, wait a minute now, hold on, watch out, you know, because I'm just about to slip just any minute here and not quite get as big of a mansion as so-and-so got. Stop it. It's wrong. Everything that you do as a Christian should be done for one reason and one reason only. God likes you, and you like him too. What does the verse say? The Father likes you because what? You like the Son. Do you like Jesus? Folks, why are we here this morning? Why do we come to church? I ask people this question all the time. Why do we come to church? Usually the answer is because we worship God. No. Worshiping God is what you do when you get to church. We come to church because we love Jesus. And he told us to come to church. We love him. We like him. We like everything about him, and we like him very, very much. And that's why we do what we do. That's the proper motivation. Let him worry about the mansions. Let him worry about the crowns. Let him worry about the glory. I like him. And I hope you like him too. Very, very much. If you're here today and you do not have Jesus in your life, let me say this to you. I realize that you may have rubbed shoulders with a lot of Christians who have forgotten or not realized that phileo is part of God's love. But it is. Regardless of who is hurting or what's going on. You know, I asked God one day, I said, God, why does it seem like the Christians are the ones that are struggling so much? And God said, because they have the big target on their backs. Folks, let me say something right here, and this has a lot to do with God directing me to start Revive Ministries, which I'll talk about here in a little bit. When the church is hurting, lost people will not be brought to Christ. When the church is strong and healthy, lost people will be brought to Christ. It will happen, period. It's not, well, yeah, but this is the modern day, and things just aren't like they used to be. If the church is strong and healthy, people will come to Christ, period. It will happen. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Christ, God wants you, and he wants you very, very much, because he wants you to spend your life just like any Christian, where he likes you, he phileos you. Yes, agape, but also phileo. God is not up there working on making your life miserable. He is up there shouting down, go, go, keep it up. And oh, by the way, there's a great cloud of witnesses there with him doing the same thing, cheering us on. Others that have gone before, right? Saints that have gone on. The Bible talks about that. Keep it up. Keep going. It's good. Yes. God likes you. And he likes you much. If we can put up the slide at the end there about Revive Ministries. So if you go to reviveustoday.com, you'll go to our website for the ministry. There are opportunities up there to pray for us, to pray for revival in America, in the church in America, to subscribe to updates, to our devotional, other things. This next week, I will be in an area in between Cincinnati and Dayton, Ohio, starting on Sunday, September 11th, on through that Wednesday. I covet your prayers for that. I want to encourage people. I hope, I pray, that today you will leave here knowing two things. Number one, the devil doesn't like you. He doesn't like you. No matter how he acts, he hates you. But more importantly than that, that you leave here knowing that God likes you, and God likes you very, very much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, if we started trying to figure out all the theology on our own, we might have some real difficulties. We wouldn't know how to reconcile sin and love and justice and mercy and all of these things, but your word does that for us. And Father, here we have from the mouth of Christ himself that you like us. You're fond of us. You lavish your affection upon us. You approve of us, regardless of how we might feel about ourselves. Father, help us to accept that. Help us to enjoy that. And above all, help us to praise you for that, Father, every single day. There may be Christians here today, Father, this morning that are thinking, well, you know, I've known this for a long time, that God loved me. I've understood phileo for many years. But Father, I know how easy it is to forget. I know how easy it is for the enemy to come along and cause us to not enjoy the glory of that. Father, we want to enjoy. We need to enjoy it. We need to realize it all the time. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for liking us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Stand with me as we sing a closing song, a familiar song, You're My King.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
Amazing love.
Amazing love. That you, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you.
I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted.
You come and dismiss us.
And all God's people said, amen. Bill, thank you. Folks, be sure to let this man know how God has ministered specifically to your heart and the timing of this message. So praise God for a clearer view, framed clearer view of him, of his love, and of the security that we have in and because of the gospel. So thank you for being with us this morning. Bill, thank you for bringing the word. And if you want to join us for our fellowship time now, you can go straight out those doors and straight back to the fellowship hall, and we'll meet for the next 20, 25 minutes or so. Thank you.